is Jesus Christ and His shed blood. That's how we draw near to God. That's how we are cleansed and purified. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near unto God. And as much as not without an oath, He was made a priest. And He says that He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so it's through Jesus Christ, this better hope, this better way, that we can draw near to God. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Let's go over a couple of pages to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Same idea, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus. See, in the Old Testament temple, tabernacle, you entered into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do so once a year. But they took in the blood of bulls and goats. But that Old Testament priesthood couldn't make us perfect. It ultimately couldn't sanctify us. It worked for a time only because of the promise of the coming sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And now we can enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Christ came. He shed His blood. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that we can enter into that Holy of Holies by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. It is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood that we can draw near to God. Now that is a background. Come back to James chapter 4. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. We can only cleanse our hands and purify our hearts first and foremost through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't do it through our works. That Old Testament law didn't work. Not in the sense of actually purifying us and cleansing us. It showed us that we couldn't do it. It showed us that our works were not good enough. It showed us that our righteousness were not good enough. Our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. We can only be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can only be purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we are cleansed and purified, we need to continue to be separated from that sin, that sanctification. When He says, cleanse your hands, it's an emphasis on the actions of our sin, the hands symbolizing our actions. We need to be cleansed of our sinful actions. First, through the blood of Christ, as we receive His forgiveness, but then also as we grow in our sanctification, as we more and more are set apart from the power of sin in our lives. We need to be constantly cleansing, being cleansed from our sinful actions. James, in his letter here to these Jewish people, he didn't pull any punches. He had mentioned several of their sinful actions. He talked about their anger. He talked about the fact that they were prejudiced and biased. He talked about their uncontrolled tongue. He talked about the quarrels and the fightings that were among them. He talked about their adultery. He talked about their sinful actions. And he said, if you want to draw near to God, you need to cleanse yourselves from those sins, those sinful actions. You can't draw near to God while you continue to practice sin in your life. It seems like many Christians have that idea that they'll draw near to God, but they'll continue living like they are. It doesn't work that way. We need to cleanse our hands. Those sinful actions need to be dealt with in our lives as we would draw near to God. He talks about purifying our hearts. The sinful actions, the cleansing of our hands, that's the emphasis of those sinful actions, the outward actions. The purifying of the heart obviously is dealing with the inward attitude. Out of the heart of man proceed the sinful actions. Matthew tells us out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and lies and blasphemies. It comes from that sinful heart, and we need to purify the heart as well. You have a spring of water that is producing bitter water. You might be able to go downstream a little ways and take some water out, and you might be able to take it through a purification process and cleanse that water and be able to drink it, but if you don't purify the source, the water that keeps coming is still bitter. Just cleansing our sinful actions isn't enough. We've also got to purify the source. We need to purify the heart. And so the corrupt source needs to be taken care of as well. And as we look at this word to purify, it's actually the word hagiazo. And it's hagios is the word for holy. And this is simply a verb form of that. It's the idea of to make holy. Make your heart holy, if you will. Purify your heart. Make sure your heart is separated from sin unto God. In fact, he speaks here of purifying your heart or making your heart holy, separating your heart from sin, you double-minded. That word is actually daisuke. Suke is the word for soul. Psychology, suke. Psychology is the study of the soul. Daisuke, dai is the word for two. Two-souled. Double-souled is the actual word here. Purify your heart, you double-souled. The soul is that inner being. And we need to be purified in the deepness of our inner being. The feelings, the desires, the affections, the passions, that's what needs to be purified. And too often we're double-souled. We're trying to live two lives. One for God and one for self. We're double-souled. Trying to be led by the Spirit, while at the same time we allow the flesh to lead us. We're double-souled. At times we'll have desires for God, but then often it's desires for self. And we're living this double-souled life. We need to be purified in our innermost being. We need to be single-hearted, single-minded, one feeling, one desire, one passion, one goal, one focus, and that's upon Jesus Christ. Purify your heart, you double-minded, James says. One life sold out, completely surrendered to God, with one passion, one focus, one goal, one desire, and that is all for the purpose and cause of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to purify your heart, you double-minded. And then he goes on into verse 9. And I believe verses 9 and 10 really describe for us repentance. Remember, repentance is that word metanoeo. It means to change the mind. We often speak of repentance as a change of mind concerning our sin and a change of mind concerning God. And that, I think, is what we have here. Verse 9 is talking about a change of mind concerning our sin, and verse 10 is talking about a change of mind concerning God. Verse 9 talking about be afflicted and mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's a change of mind concerning our sin. We are broken over our sin. We are afflicted over our sin. That word afflicted is a very strong word. It really is the idea of be miserable. Have a feeling of misery because of your sin. When was the last time, and only you can answer this, when was the last time you felt miserable because of your sin? Not because of someone else's sin. Often others sin, and because of their sin, it hurts us, and we feel miserable because of their sin. When was the last time you felt miserable because of your sin? When was the last time you were broken and mourning over your sin? And one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In that Beatitude, it's the idea of mourning over our sin. And when was the last time we mourned over our sin? When was the last time that we were weeping because of my sin? be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Far too often we go on our merry way living in our sin. Not giving it another thought, not worrying about it, just, you know, this is what makes me happy, and so I'm gonna do what makes me happy, and we're just going on our merry way, ignoring the sin in our lives. He says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Those words, affliction and mourn and weep and mourning and heaviness, they're very, very powerful emotional words. Do we mourn and weep because of sin in our lives? I know some say, well, aren't Christians supposed to be happy? You know, it talks about letting your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Aren't we supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord? Aren't we supposed to be happy? Aren't we supposed to be laughing? Yes. If we have drawn near to God, if we have cleansed our hands and purified our hearts, if we have repented of our sin, then yes, there ought to be that joy of the Lord in our lives. But if we're going on our merry way living in our sin, no, there shouldn't be joy in our lives. There should be a brokenness. There should be a contrite spirit before God. Rather than laughing at our sin, we need to be broken over our sin. Rather than laughing our sin off as something minor, it's just a mistake, it's just the way I was born, it's just a fault that I find in my life, and passing it off and ignoring it, we need to be broken over it. That's what repentance is all about. Not trying to hide it. Not trying to make light of it. Not trying to sweep it under the rug. But being honest with ourselves and with God and being broken over our sin. That's the change of mind about our sin that repentance requires. And then in verse 10, we have this change of mind about God as we humble ourselves in His sight. Far too often our attitude with God is that God is impressed with our righteousness. We need to have a change of mind about God. God's not impressed with our righteousness. We need to humble ourselves in His sight. We need to come to Him completely empty-handed. God, I don't have any righteousness to offer You. Again, one of the Beatitudes is blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who recognize that spiritually they are in abject poverty. Nothing to offer God. That's how we need to come to Him, in that kind of humility. Changing our mind about how God views us. He doesn't view us as these wonderful, righteous people, except when we've trusted Christ as our Savior and we have the righteousness of Christ. That's what He sees, not our righteousness. We need to understand that as we humble ourselves before Him. So again, that's what repentance is, a change of mind concerning sin in verse 9, a change of mind concerning God in verse 10. So drawing near to God requires sanctification. Sanctification is being set apart from sin unto God. And sanctification is cleansing our hands and purifying our hearts, being set apart from sin. And sanctification is being set apart unto God. Repentance in humility. Repenting of our sin in verse 9, being broken because of our sin, and then humbling ourselves before God in humility as we recognize that we can't come in our own righteousness. We come in the righteousness of Christ and Him alone. He is that new and living way to draw near to God. Notice, these three verses begin and ends with a promise. Draw near to God, and what's He promise? He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, repent in humility. God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, repent in humility. And what's God going to do in verse 10? He shall lift you up. We have His promises that as we sanctify ourselves before Him. He will draw near to us, and He will lift us up. We can claim Him as our God and as our Savior, and we enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ as we draw near to Him. There is no secret to a deeper spiritual life. There is no secret to a closer walk with God. There is no secret to drawing near to Him. It's very clear and plain. It's sanctification, being set apart from sin unto God, cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts, and humbling ourselves in repentance. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this time together tonight. Thank You that You have opened up that new and living way. Thank You for Jesus Christ, that mediator between God and man. And I pray that we would truly desire to draw near to You and recognize that, yes, it requires sacrifice. And yet, Father, it is a sacrifice that is of great joy to us as we draw near to You, and we have Your promise that You will draw near to us and You will lift us up. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, I pray that we would share this gospel message with those around us. Help us to be faithful in our witness and our testimony this week. Help us to make it clear to others how they too can draw near to You as they see us doing so in our own lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.